In the Dharma, we call this the bardo of the living. And then there's the dream bardo. And this is a stage from when we have been awake, we lose awareness, and then we enter into a different world. And in this different world, there's still a world that appears, and we still have happiness and unhappiness, and this is our dreams. In it, we experience happiness and sadness, fear, difficulties. And when we wake up from this dream, our heart might still be pounding. And where does this mind's world of the dream world come from? Have you ever thought about this? How does it appear? And this is what we call the dream bardo. Between the bardo of dying and the bardo of Dhammadhatu, there might be a state without awareness, just like there is between our dream state and awakening state. Having this precious human life is like having a precious jewel if we know how to use it meaningfully. And with this human life, we can do virtuous deeds, we can attain liberation, we can also attain enlightenment. If, however, we don't know how to utilize this precious human life, we might do a lot of negativity and generate a lot of negative karma. Killing, stealing, entering into sexual misconduct, smoking, harming others, breaking the relationships between others. Think about, since the day you were born until now, how much negative karma have you generated? And as a result, our next life we may very well end up being reborn as an animal or in hungry ghosts. And with respect to animals, we are able to see the suffering of the animals with our own eyes. See how animals are kept captive by people, are killed by people, are eaten by people. Through this, we really can see the suffering of animals. And being humans, we have more intelligence than the animals. However, if we don't use this precious human life to enter and to generate positive deeds and to benefit others, then what is the blessing of having this human life? Then what are we doing other than really just existing? And how is that different to animals? They also know how to exist. And what is the difference between being human and that of an animal? It's not the difference in size or the difference in strength. The difference is that humans have great intelligence and wisdom. We see this as humans are able to build, they are able to enter into all sorts of different business activities. Look around and you can see the development of the world due to humans' intellect. But not only this, we also have great wisdom. And through this wisdom, we can, in this lifetime, become bodhisattvas or Buddhas. Because where do Buddhas come from? They didn't just be Buddhas. They were first sentient beings and then realized Buddhahood. Look at the story of Sakyamuni Buddha. He also previously had been in the hells. Avalokiteshvara as well was in samsara and was saved by Amitabha. That's why you will see Nitankas, you will see above Avalokiteshvara is Amitabha, because Amitabha saved the life of Avalokiteshvara. And through this we see Sakyamuni Buddha and all of these great lineage masters, they also all started initially from samsara. They may have also started in the hells, and then through arising causes and the merit of their practice, they met with the Dharma, and then they met with a Bhadra Guru, and then engaged in meritorious practices, accumulated merit and increased their wisdom, and then became these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas that appear before sentient beings. In essence, we are all Buddhas. However, we don't know this because we have lost. Why are we lost? Because we are so attached to all of these material concerns. We attach to all of these things as being truly existent. In the Buddhadharma, we are told that everything is illusory, dreamlike. Continually telling the students that everything is illusory and dreamlike. However, in the beginning, we don't understand this, do we? What do we mean it's dreamlike? If we think about our happiness and unhappiness for the last 10 or 20 or 30 years, it's gone. It's in the past. We can't recover it. It's just like a dream. It's past like a dream. And if we investigate within this present human life of ours, apart from the present, the right now, everything is passing just like a dream. It's over. In reality, we have no idea that we are lost, confused. We think that we are very clever, that we have great abilities, that we are able to develop so easily. In reality, this is just the appearance of all our common karma. Settle down and really contemplate the blessing, the meaning of this human life. The blessing of having this human life is not to just eat and to play. If that's all that we do, then it doesn't matter how many lives we have. We could have hundreds of lives. The end result is we still revolve around in samsara. And we still continue being lost and confused. Where does our suffering arise from? It arises because we don't understand the true nature of this world. Because we don't know the true nature of this world, our suffering and our afflictions haven't come to an end. Similarly, our fear continues. And why? Because we haven't recognized that this mind of ours is lost and confused. And while our mind is confused like this, then whatever we do contains elements of fear, anxiety, worry. And because we're living in this confused state, our mind has all of these afflictive emotions and all of these troubles. And so we experience so much suffering, anxiety, worry, fear. And in the moment, in the present, we feel that this is correct. However, we don't know. We don't realize that there's a whole lot of troubles going to follow. It doesn't mean that we mustn't work and we mustn't live. What we are saying is that while we are living, we don't understand the true nature of this world. And then all that happens is our troubles, our afflictions, and our fear just continue. And as long as this mind is lost and confused, it hasn't attained enlightenment, then suffering will always be there. And there will be a lot of afflictive emotions. How do we resolve this problem of fear, anxiety, worry? Through the practice of the Buddhadharma. When we have reduced our fear and these afflictive emotions, then our mind becomes more and more pure and our wisdom increases. And then all of this fear, anxiety, worry, all of these afflictive emotions will return back to this Dhamma Dhatu, to our true nature of mind, to the purity, the clarity of our true nature of mind. And in this case, we've attained liberation. We often say liberation, liberation. However, how often do we really know what liberation is? What do? We use all sorts of methods. For instance, we go traveling, we go on holiday, we find a beautiful, relaxing place, do our best to relax, find some hot springs, go to these five-star hotels and eat and drink and have fun. However, after all of this, our mind is still not able to relax. When we do this, what we have done is changed our environment. However, the root problem we haven't resolved. The root problem is not an external problem. The problem is that our mind is confused. If our mind is pure, relaxed, then it doesn't matter where we go. We feel like we are in the pure lands. And we won't feel uptight, anxious, and have afflictions. And so what is the great jewel of having this precious human life is that we can attain enlightenment. You have all heard of Master Huainan, and he started off as just a sentient being and attained enlightenment. And in terms of history, look at the great benefit that his attaining enlightenment has brought. And it has brought benefit around the whole world. Master Huainan also started as a sentient being like us. And so, if he was able to attain enlightenment, so can we. We possess the same conditions as he does or did to attain enlightenment. And whether we attain enlightenment or not really is determined by ourselves, whether we're prepared to practice and increase your wisdom, your experience, and your state of realization. And your mind becomes purer. And what is the mind becoming purer is when you distance yourself from all of these anxieties and afflictive emotions. And the wisdom of a pure mind is what we call boundless wisdom. Although it is important for us to develop this world, what is even more important is that we really sit down and consider the boundless suffering of samsara. There is the suffering of birth, old age, sickness and death. Think about how many very wealthy people with fame and status have died, have left this world. We are not the owners of this world. We are guests on this world. We arrive in this world. We meet in this world. We leave this world. We always think we're going to live in this feeling, and as a result, our practice is confused.